Are you ready to ignite your business and achieve your full potential? Welcome to Building Success Stories, the podcast that empowers entrepreneurs and business leaders. I'm Ann Donnelly, and I've spent over four decades in the business world. I've witnessed the power of perseverance, innovation, and strategic thinking firsthand. We'll explore the stories of successful entrepreneurs and business leaders, and we'll delve into the practical strategies and mindset shifts that can propel your business to new heights. Get ready to be inspired and motivated to take your business to the next level. I'm here with Ginny Brandreth, COO of Zobel & Co. Kitchens here in Glens Falls. Hello, Ginny.
Hello, Anne. How are you?
Thank you so much for your time. Tell us a little bit about how you got started in, because like pretty much right out of college, you had a marketing
degree.
You were in marketing for years.
A marketing degree and started in consumer products in Syracuse and then quickly ended up in Rochester and was in consumer products there. So I went from being kind of marketing communications, then to marketing manager, then to product manager, then to lead senior product manager. And it was fun. I have to say that probably in terms of my whole career, that was fun, the most fun time because I was young. The company was dynamic and growing. And I got to see so many different kinds of business, everything from a little mom and pop locksmith to making presentations at Walmart, Home Depot, and traveling overseas for our business over in Europe. So that was fun.
Yeah.
That was very, very fun.
And this is before digital marketing had.
Oh, God. Yeah. You know what?
This is like real marketing.
This you can relate to this. We had a really nice design firm in Skinny Atlas called Chase Design, and they did everything from a lot of product design to all our marketing. And so when we did package marketing, we would meet several times. They would do literally hand sketches of what the outside of the packaging would be. And then they would do these gigantic mock-ups and these big, huge boards where they would literally glue every piece of type and everything down. Mm-hmm. And then that would go to the printer, be photographed. They'd run a proof sheet. Then I would be going to press runs at 2 o'clock in the morning and trying to justify the colors with the printer. It was just so much work. And now it's like none of that.
It's different. I was in printing before.
Were you?
So, and it was kind of just around the time where things were going more digital.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting to see, like, I obviously I was never there when it was hot type.
Oh my gosh.
But to see how it's transformed in not such a long time.
Well, I kind of think so. I feel like it was yesterday, but
yeah.
So there's been a lot of changes. And of course, you know, when I was buying media, it was print media, and I had a print reps that would come in, and now everything is just all digital. And with design software that's readily available, I design our ads. I'm not a graphic designer, but for a lot of things, you don't have to be. And it is kind of sad because I have a large number of friends that are in the creative side.
Yeah.
They're copywriters, they're graphic designers, they're photographers, and you know, their industry does get nibbled away with the software that's available today online, and AI is kind of nibbling at that. But I wish AI was around when I was writing press releases 25 years
ago. Right, it's really good for stuff like that.
Yeah. But then when I left consumer products, I ended up, as we were just talking about, I ended up over in Europe in Dublin for a number of years. And funny, I couldn't, because I was a trailing spouse, I legally couldn't work, but the relocation agent that moved us was bringing over hundreds of American families because this is the Celtic Tiger.
Yeah.
So I worked for her, and then I worked as a volunteer for the Paul Newman's Hole in the Wall Gang Camp.
Oh, yeah. Is this in the 90s?
Yeah. So it's sister camp, the Double H camp. Mm-hmm. And so that was interesting, and that got me, you know, like, can you imagine, and you probably felt this way, I mean, you went from being a 60 to 70 hour a week product manager
absolutely.
To a housewife in Ireland, where the stores close.
And I wasn't in Dublin. I was in rural West Cork. So oh, you can
yeah.
imagine.
Oh, yeah. Yours. Yeah. I remember the first time I walked in with my eldest was born and we walked in. My husband was traveling all the time. He was never home. And I walked into a pub and like, no smoking. She goes, oh, there's no smoking here, dear. Like, oh, yeah, smoking and chain smoking. Which one do you want? Yeah. And so things really changed, you know, yeah. even over there. But when I came back, I got back into more B2B marketing. And I eventually went out on my own and filled a niche that was kind of that I saw in Rochester and other places where you have a medium-sized company around $10 million and they don't have a marketing department, but they need it. Mm-hmm. And so what I would do is I'd fill that role, marketing manager, for say 20 hours a week. And I would always say to my clients, my goal is for you to let go of me and hire somebody permanently. I don't want to work for you permanently, but I want you to
get them started.
I want you to see the value of it.
Yeah.
And then I worked for one company for quite a long time, getting them ready to be acquired. And so, and one of the things I did in that time period is I networked like it was my job. Mm-hmm. I substituted for 7 BNI groups. So I never paid any fees, mm-hmm. but breakfast, lunch, I started a networking group called First Thursdays. So, and there was a lot of M&A people in it. So people from Boston would come over on their way to Buffalo. It was so funny because people would call me. I was like, when's the First Thursday meeting? I'm like, I guess it might be Tuesday.
Right.
Doesn't the name just kind of tell you?
Exactly.
Thursday.
But that's
really secret sauce. And I know that I'm an extrovert, so I like meeting people. I like talking to people. And I realize it's not for everybody. It's very difficult for some people. But if you can get the hang of networking, it's incredible how business grows. Mm-hmm. And even working with Arthur, you know, Arthur doesn't like going to mixers until I drag him along. Mm-hmm. And then he has a great time. But it makes such a difference. You never know where business is going to come from. And you never know where if you meet somebody and they say, well, I'm looking for such and such, and you've got a connection, then somewhere along the line, someone's going to make a connection for you.
Yeah.
And I think as an entrepreneur, that's one of the things you have to master mm-hmm. is getting out there and networking and being a resource for others. And then that comes back in time. It really, really does. Mm-hmm. So
that's your big.
That's my big tip. Big thing.
Your big
and
tip.
That's my big tip is really just get to network, get to understand, listen to people, find out what they need, and help them. Because mm-hmm. then someone's going to help you. It always comes back. And so I was doing that, and then because I have a substantial interest in the Adirondacks, and that's a whole other life of mine. Mm-hmm. I was living in Fairport, which is a suburb of Rochester, and I loved raising my kids there. It was wonderful, but it was just too far from the Adirondack property. So I told the kids, when the youngest one goes to college, I'm moving to Saratoga because I have a lot of friends in the area. Mm-hmm.
So that's how you ended up in this area.
Yeah, because I always had friends. I almost bought a condo back when they were like $200,000.
Right, if only.
If only. And I told my youngest, when you go to college, I'm going to Saratoga. And so they had a lot of runway to kind of marinate on that. And I took her to college on a Friday, and the moving van came the following Thursday.
Oh, wow.
And here I am.
You weren't kidding.
I was not. No, I was very, very serious about mm-hmm. that. And so Arthur and I were kind of looked around. Arthur was doing very, very well in Westchester County. His father was a kitchen designer and a cabinet maker. His brother was living in Saratoga before he moved up. And was a kitchen designer. His daughter now is a kitchen designer in Westchester County. So it's kind of what he has to do. And so he was trying to, like, would he work for somebody else? And I said, why don't we open our own place? You know, I'll do the back end, you do the front mm-hmm. end. And that's how this started. And
when was that?
2016. So he moved up in 2016. We were 0-6 in finding places in Saratoga. It never worked out. So I said, what about Glens Falls? Because then we can get closer to the Adirondacks. And he walked around and walked around. We almost bought another place here in town, and that fortunately fell through because he walked into this building and it's perfect. I mean, you can see all this natural light, huge ceilings, so we can have big displays. And
were there many other businesses in this building at the time?
So no, there were businesses. So Mannix was upstairs, and no, the law firm was upstairs, but there weren't that many. The physical therapy folks, Locomotion, was downstairs. And then shortly after we started renovating this spot, because this was Finders Keepers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was really pink and red. And the walls weren't here. All these walls, it was big open
big
space.
Open.
And in that corner where the conference room was it was a room like that had, I don't know, maybe 2.5 foot, 3 foot wall made out of brick. And it was a safe because this building is an 1800s factory and they didn't have banks back there. So there's one downstairs in the physical therapy area that they use as a closet. Mm-hmm. And the landlord, Tom O'Neill, said, well, you can use it as a closet. And I said, no, it's coming out. And Tom's like, no, I mean, like the walls. So he's like, Arthur's like, no, it's coming out. And so they took it out, broke it down one piece at a time, I think. So while that, it took a year to get the showroom together. And while that happened, then Dana Russell and Greg started on the Salt Cave. And then things started moving along. And and yeah, so this building kind of filled up.
Yeah, it's
and then AJA Architecture was down on South Street. They moved upstairs. So the building's really come along. And so Arthur was working back and forth, and I moved over in 2017 and started working here. And it's interesting because I mean, the marketing's not the hard part. It's some of the rest of the stuff. Like QuickBooks and I just don't get along well. And thank God for Lorraine Buffard at Every Penny Bookkeeping. She saves me. Like she's worth every cent, you know, and more.
I worked with her too.
Yeah, and she's great. And she doesn't call me stupid when I ask her about the same thing over and over again. But, you know, I must say, like, one of the things when you get back to entrepreneurship is you have to do things that you've never done before. And you have to get out of your comfort zone and, you know, finally learn a piece of software or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I mean, there's parts of this business that I don't know anything about. And I really don't get into the design aspect at all. And I can greet people and I can walk them through the first stages, but that's really Arthur's role. Mm-hmm. My role is to kind of keep everything else going, you know,
keeping the behind the scenes,
behind the scenes and stuff, you know, insurances and stuff that I just never had to deal with before.
Yeah.
And so there's a little bit of being out of your comfort zone and sometimes not liking it,
yeah.
But you know, this is part of it. You know, I signed up for it and all. So, and I think that's the difference between being an entrepreneur and not, like,
yeah,
you're willing to put yourself in a position where, you know, this is not really what I want to do or really I enjoy doing, but
yeah,
this is going to move me forward.
Because you're responsible for everything.
Yeah.
But you do, like you said, with Every Penny, you delegated your bookkeeping.
I do the bookkeeping.
Yeah.
She comes in when I make a mistake.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's like, Lorraine, QuickBooks and I are having a fight.
Sometimes you have to delegate.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's hard for people to do, especially if you're used to doing everything.
Used to, yeah. So most of the marketing, I delegated the social media part of it because it's not so much that I don't know how to do it. It's just that the algorithms change a lot. So, and I just, it's not one of the things that I enjoy.
You're not doing it day in.
At all. Whereas the website work, I don't mind getting into the weeds with the analytics and I don't mind working on the website myself. I didn't design it, but I can manage the whole thing by myself. Yeah. So I enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm.
So I kept it. You know, I would say that one of, maybe not regrets, but starting a business late in life, it's just like we have such a long runway before, you know, before we transition, you know, which is we're here for a while. We're here for a good long
time. Yeah, I was going to say, what's in the future?
Well, you know what? who knows? I mean, I don't know if our daughter Sarah is going to come up and take over the business. That would be great. And that was kind of the joke when she started with a design firm. It's like, good, you train her, then she can come up and work for us. Or if we'll find a designer who wants the business. You know, it's an interesting business because you don't really have a book of business, right? People don't do a kitchen every other year.
Yeah,
You know, so we do a kitchen. They might come back in a few years and they want some cabinetry, or maybe they want an outdoor kitchen. But
you have a reputation.
You have a reputation. And we're really focused on kind of Glens Falls North. We do projects in Saratoga, but there are great design firms in Saratoga, and we don't need to butt heads with them. But we do some projects here and a lot up north. Mm-hmm. I said, if I had to monetize Arthur's travel time, we'd be broke because he's constant. Like, he's today's over in Sacandaga. He's going to be Lake Placid Monday. You know, so, yeah, but that's fine. And he loves it. He really, he's doing what he really, really loves.
Yeah. So. That's always wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah.
It gives you that passion to keep going.
Right. Yeah. And you know what? I must say that the difference too, for me, is while we don't take a lot of vacations and we never live, we work on our business all the time. As you know, I mean, so making phone calls on the weekends, and, you know, somebody will send us an email at 9 o'clock at night, I'm likely to respond, you know? Mm-hmm. But like that too, you know, we aren't as rigid about our business in terms of we take days off and do day trips. Like, if there's nothing on the calendar, let's do something.
That's the flexibility.
Yeah. There is flexibility. Yeah.
You started this after your kids were grown.
I did. Yeah. All our kids were out of the nest. Yeah. So that was a big...
You didn't have that extra thing to think about. Because I was going to say that, like, I had been previously business partners with my spouse. And there was lots of challenges, but do you find that there's issues?
Well, you know what? If someone had told me in 2015 that I was going to work with my husband, work out with my husband, do grocery shopping with my husband, do everything with my husband, I'd be like, no, I will eat him alive. I'm a black widow. This is not going to work. But it has, you know. I stay in my lane. I can't design, and I can't tell somebody. I can't.
Oh, that's good. Stay in your lane. That's a good bit of advice.
And so when he tries to get in my lane, I'm like, boop, 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 back out. You can stay in your lane.
That's funny.
So, and it's, you know, because I don't think we have the stress of raising the kids and who's going to be home to do this and who's going to be the disciplinarian or whatever. I think that also really helps.
Yeah. And that was my extra challenge. And then the fact that we'd be talking about business over the dinner table with the kids sitting there. And I really regret that there wasn't more division of it. But when your business partners with your spouse,
it's really hard. And I went to, when we were first here, I went to an Albany Business Review breakfast. And it was about some of the more successful companies like Hill & Marks out there. You pass their warehouse on the thruway going west. And that's a couple that started it. And, you know, their boundaries about, they said, you know, we do not talk about business once we leave the office. Well, Arthur and I do. Yeah. But, you know, if we had kids, I can see how that would be tough. And we also don't, if there's an issue that's really like something's really gone wrong, it's just like, let's not talk about that till tomorrow.
It's good to have those boundaries. I think as an entrepreneur or self-employed person, you need to have those boundaries, even if you're not working with your spouse.
Right. Like,
just for your own sake.
When I was in Rochester and my kids were old enough, one was in college, the other was working, I would work till 12 or 1 in the morning, get up at 6:15. I don't have that energy anymore, but I never stopped because I just wanted to keep, you know, I wanted to keep clients in the pipeline.
Yeah.
I couldn't do that today. I wouldn't want to do that today.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that there are stages in your life where you have to decide whether you want to be that entrepreneur or how much of your work life do you really want to have?
Make your priority.
Yeah. yeah. where your priorities are.
It's good to know that.
Yeah. Anyway, you and I are on the executive committee for the Women's Business Council. And to the extent that you can get involved with something, I feel like that's fun. We're meeting tremendous women all the time.
Yeah.
And
it's worth the time that we put into it.
It is. Yeah, it is. And, you know, now when we go to networking events, you know, we're just flitting around all over the place. And you know, it's like, you see people you've known.
Yeah.
And it's, again, maybe you'll never do business with that person. Maybe they'll never send somebody away, but you never know.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just good to have a resource.
No. Definitely is, yeah. And the WBC is a great resource.
It is
for the women in business, the Women's Business Council.
Right,
it is a good resource for the women in the area.
It is, and the chamber is wonderful. Really love our chamber. You know, I feel we used to belong to a couple different chambers. I think you belong to the Lake George.
Yeah.
I've networked with them just because of the event that the two chambers do. But we've belonged to other chambers. And I must say that this one is very, the ARCC is very friendly, very welcoming.
Yeah.
You know, everybody makes you feel like you're an important part of the community.
And even when you're just a company. There's new developments all the time too.
Sure.
How they do it for such a small sort of team of actual paid staff.
I know.
They use their resources well.
Yeah.
With the members. Because I think so many members are passionate about that chamber that they give a lot of their time, like we do.
Yeah.
And you're downplaying your role because you're chair this year. So you're leading us.
Well, yeah, you know what? But it's a great group. And I wouldn't say that, like, it's not a heavy lift. It really isn't. You know, Tracy Wardwell, the past chair, now she's working on our summit coming up in May. I know that she's working really hard on making that summit really successful.
Absolutely.
And I hope she doesn't set the bar too high because I have to do that next year. Mm-hmm. So we're fortunate, too, to have Carol Ann. She's just wonderful.
Yeah, Caroline Conover is our liaison with the chamber.
Right, Caroline Conover. She's always there, and she keeps us on track, which I love.
Yeah,
you know,
so. Everyone's got their part to play. I think that's one of the keys of a successful committee like that.
Yeah.
Is that we all have our role, but we work well together and help each other out.
Yeah.
Get the job done.
Get the job.
Even though it's something extra we're doing.
Yeah, and it's fun to see the WBC meetings get bigger and bigger. I remember when there was 10 or 20 of us, and then sometimes it went down to 10. You know?
So we're regularly getting 50, at least 50 people in.
Yeah.
So now we have to account for that because that makes it a little bit more of a challenge because you got to make sure there's room for people. Yeah.
I noticed that in our meeting last week. I was like, I was standing. There's a few of us standing in the back because there weren't enough chairs. I love that.
Yeah, definitely.
But
keep us on our toes, literally.
Yeah, yeah. And you've got a challenge too. You know, the education part of it is we can pick a theme, but getting the right people there to present, discuss, whether or a panel. I mean, that's a bit of work. You know.
Yeah, I love that stuff. So
that's good.
That's why
that's why you do it so well.
And I'm always out talking to people, so I come up with these ideas. But I didn't come up with the last one. They volunteered. So that was just good timing.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. You've got to make the most of those sorts of opportunities. And that's where networking, not only for your business, but for all sorts of reasons that, you know, you're meeting people that are great resources personally as well as professionally.
Yeah. Yeah. So, no, it's a great business community. I'm very glad we're here. We love living in Saratoga, but I much rather work up here. And
Glens Falls is such a dynamic place. Now, like I was at the Hyde on the weekend. I did a tour for Women in Art.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. And it's just amazing that Glens Falls has a museum of that standard.
Yeah. I'm actually going over to meet with Jeff in a little bit. It is. I tell people all the time, it's like, they have Rembrandts. Picasso's, they have an Ellen Brooks.
And it was like the home.
Yeah.
So it's this, I don't know what era it's from, but they've got the furnishing. So it's a museum in itself.
It is.
And then with all the art
yeah.
and programs that they have.
Yeah.
So, and that's just one of many wonderful things we have in here. Glens Falls. So I'm a big ambassador for Glens Falls.
Yeah, I like
that. I'm from Gloversville.
Oh, are you really?
I grew up in Gloversville, and then I moved to New York City as soon as, for college.
Yeah. So, oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah. But I came back to this area. My brother was living in this area, but I'd seen how it has come along in the past few years. So it was a good place for me and my daughter.
I'm so excited about South Street. When we first came here, I kept saying to our landlord, isn't somebody going to do something?
Yeah.
And to see all the activity, we can hear them. They're literally not
and across the right street also. Yeah. So you've got it on all sides.
Which is fine. No, I love it. Yeah. I love the
Once
growth.
Once it's done, it's going to be amazing.
It is. Yeah. And I tell my friends in Saratoga, I said, the restaurants in Glens Falls really, really are great. You're missing it. Yeah. Not going up there.
And, yeah. And it's easier. Well, I don't know if it's easier to navigate than Saratoga. Parking, hopefully, it can be a bit of a challenge, but
I think that might, we'll see.
Saratoga's kind of gotten famous for parking issues. Yes, but
I hope Glens Falls doesn't too. I hope they have a plan.
But it just shows the importance of how everything in a city or town impacts the businesses that are here.
Exactly. Yeah. Because you tell people to come to the showroom. It's like, it's kind of, believe me, once you get past that kind of rundown section, Glens Falls is really great. But, now it's going to be a destination area.
Yeah.
It's going to be lovely.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I'm excited.
And I think too, is that because if we circle back to our women in business theme, that the fact that the chamber is the permanent staff are all women, that it makes it an even better resource. They are for everybody, obviously, but it does make it a better resource for us because we're seeing people leading.
Exactly.
Yeah. That are females and are strong, successful leaders. Yep. So it gives us and the women that are coming up behind us good role models.
Good role models. Trisha's amazing. Trisha, and she really has, she has more sway than she leads on. I mean, she is a fundamental part of this community.
Yeah.
The decisions that are made. So I love that.
Yeah. And they all get very involved in the community.
They do.
And they really care. You can tell, they really care about the members. They really care about the businesses and everything that's going on.
Right. And to your point, all businesses, I mean, we're just this tiny little business. And yet, every time they see me, it's like they make you feel like you're Glens Falls Hospital or Aero Bank. Mm-hmm. They don't let size get in the way. I mean, they make you feel so welcome. And as I said, not all the chambers around do that. So
every chamber has a focus, I think. Right. And that's a lot of people say that with Lake George is more tourism focused, isn't 100% true. It's just that there are a lot more tourism and it's connected with the Convention and Visitors Bureau, which is tourism and bringing visitors into the area.
Yeah.
So there is a big link there.
It's a big part of our economy.
Yeah, definitely is. So one of their KPIs is definitely bed nights and
That tax revenue.
Yeah. So, and then here, because it's membership funded, they're focused on the members in a different way.
Right.
I'm not saying the others aren't focused on their members.
Oh, yeah. No, but just,
So it does show the difference.
There's a much broader type of business in the ARCC than there are in other chambers.
Yeah.
Industrial, like Finch Prine, and then you've got retail and hospitality. Yeah.
And massage B2B therapists.
And a great massage therapy. There's several of them in town, too. So, and great culture. We're right around the corner from the Chapman Museum.
I've never been in there.
I've never been in there. And, again, because I love the Adirondacks, I mean, they've got, Stoddard was from Glens Falls. They've got the biggest Stoddard collection. Do you think I've been over there yet? No.
We have a symphony. Did you know that? Because I didn't know it till it popped up on Facebook a few months ago, and I've gotten to know them better.
Yeah. And we have great.
But a lot of people don't know.
We have a symphony, and we have great art. We have a great art community, and we have a hockey team.
Yeah.
We got it. Yeah.
I love the hockey.
Yeah. It's great. I just love it. You know,
especially if they're doing good. I mean, I think people love them regardless, but like last year they had a good year. And so that kind of helps the buzz.
Yeah.
Bringing people into town.
Yeah.
For the games. And
absolutely.
Like the restaurants are filled before.
Oh, they are. Yeah, talk about having a parking problem. That's the nice thing, there's a hockey game.
Yes.
But, you know, and getting back to entrepreneurship. So I think that, you know, if there was a woman who's like, I have an idea, I think that this community is worth trying to start that idea. Because I think that there's a lot of support, not only from the chamber, mm-hmm. but, you know, you and I know when we see somebody new at the Women's Business Council, you know, tell us what you need. We'll see if we can make connections. Yeah. We want people to succeed.
Yeah.
You know, we want,
focused on
you know, I love seeing people flourish and make their dream come true.
Yeah.
You know,
so. And they really embrace the newer businesses. They've got the ribbon cutting.
Ribbon cutting is always big.
It's a good way to get promoted.
Yep.
When I'm talking to people about joining the chamber, that's always like join it, even if it's just to get the ribbon cutting.
Yeah.
Because it's getting your business in front of all the members. Like
absolutely.
Even if they don't all come out for the ribbon cutting,
they'll see it.
Promotions about it.
Yeah. They'll see it in the weekly newsletter. And then the mixers are always great. I mean, the mixers are always just so well attended. And and that's when you really like to see people over and over again. Then you start making friends. And,
Yeah.
So I love that.
And then we're lucky we've got the Women's Business Council with
our
monthly
meeting.
So.
And then they've got the Veterans Council
and
the Nonprofit Council.
I went to the nonprofit the other day just to kind of check in and see like who goes to those and what are their kind of issues.
Yeah,
so it's interesting.
Yeah.
I gave a pitch for the WBC. A lot of you have already come, but forget, we're here for every woman.
Yeah. And maybe that's why we had quite a few nonprofits at last week's meeting. Maybe
no, this was after that.
Oh, it was after it?
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Maybe we'll have more. Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot. So
So it's getting the word out. But yeah, thank you. Any last minute advice for women thinking of starting their own business?
Do it.
Just do it.
Do it. Jump in. You know, do some research. Get the resources you think you need to get started. But just do it. You know what? You don't know until you try.
Right.
And, you know, if it doesn't work out, there's always plan B. But I have to say that and a lot of things in life, I didn't want to do. I was a small town country girl. I, you know, doing things out of my comfort zone was not in my playbook. And every time I've done that, I haven't regretted it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I haven't regretted it once. So.
That's a great note to end it on. So thank you so much.
Thank you very much for coming back.
Thank you for joining me in this episode of Building Success Stories. Are you ready to take your business to the next level? I've got you covered. Visit my website, AnnDonnellySuccessStories.com, to access additional resources and sign up for my newsletter. And to work with me directly, visit AnnDonnelly.com to learn more about my services as a fractional COO and business consultant. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on your favorite platform and never miss an episode. Until next time, keep building your success story.